Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you. So we're going to go to the Word of God. And as we're moving through Ephesians, we find ourselves in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 5 through 9 this morning. And I'm not going to ask us to stand again. I'm just going to, as we move through these verses, I want you to honor God's Word by just being obedient to what He's telling you to do. I want to talk to you this morning about Christianity in the workplace. Christianity in the workplace. And I want to talk for just a little while. I believe that's what this passage is talking about, the employee-employer relationships. You know, we looked at family matters the last 3 weeks. Now we're looking at job matters. How many of you work for somebody? Not every hand went up. Guess what? You do serve, you do work for somebody, whether you know it or not. And it is so important that we live Monday through Saturday like we do on Sunday. About half of y'all got that. It is so important how we live the rest of the week when we walk out of here on Sunday. I mean, it's huge. And wherever you work, if you've got a job, that's your mission field. That is your mission field. So we're going to talk about just how vital it is. And by the way, if you have a job today, if you have an employer, if you've got income coming in, go ahead and give God some praise for that today. You better be thankful for that, because it could be here today and gone tomorrow, as we have learned this year. I want us to go back in time to the time of Jesus in New Testament days. Slavery was an institution. It was the social issue of the day. There were over 60 million slaves in the Roman Empire. That's a third of the people that were involved in slavery in those days. And it wasn't just manual laborers. Christians, some who were even professional people, what we would call, you know, doctors and teachers and law. There were many Christian slaves in that day. As a matter of fact, you may remember the little book of Philemon. Remember Paul wrote that New Testament book of Philemon? Philemon was a slave owner who had a runaway slave by the name of Onesimus. And in the providence of God, Onesimus wound up running into the Apostle Paul. And if you ran, as Billy told us last week, if you ran into Paul, you were going to hear the gospel. Well, Onesimus had gotten wonderfully and gloriously saved. And so Paul wrote that New Testament letter to Philemon to tell him how to receive him, not just as a slave, but as his newfound brother in Christ. You say, well, Pastor, what has all this got to do with the Christian workplace? It's got everything to do, because the employee-employer relationships is how you apply this passage of Scripture in Ephesians chapter 6. And so, are you a Christian worker? Are you a Christian servant? Are you a Christian boss? Manager? Well, I believe God's going to speak to some of us today about our work. I want to just say two things from verses 5 through 9. We've got some obligations as Christians, as believers in the workplace. We do. We've got some obligations as a Christian worker. Now look at verse 5. Here's the first obligation we have. Bondservants, be, what's that next word? Obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh. We need to be obedient workers. If you've got a boss, you are under his or her authority. You're under their authority if you have a boss. As a Christian, you have an obligation to be obedient to that boss. Now, if you're the boss, we've got some stuff for y'all here in just a minute, okay? So just hang on. Now, in other words, if you're supposed to be at 8 o'clock, be at work at 8 o'clock, what time should you show up? 8 o'clock. All right? There's a man after my heart. If I'm gonna go late, I'm not going. You're to be on time for work because you're an obedient worker. You are under your boss's authority. Now, if you get a 15-minute break during the day, you take that 15-minute break. If you're supposed to get off work at 4, you work until 4. Not 3:55, but until 4 o'clock as an obedient worker. Listen to what 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 2 says. This is an amazing verse of Scripture. Listen to this. And those who have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather serve them because those who are benefited are believers and beloved. Teach and exhort these things. We're to be obedient. I remember back when I was in hotel management years and years ago, we had a young fellow in our maintenance department who was a brother in Christ. He was a good brother in the Lord. He loved Jesus, and he and I just, you know, had that in common. He knew I was a believer, over time, though, you know what that rascal began to do? He thought he could take advantage of our Christian relationship. Well, he found out that wasn't the case. Just because you're working for a Christian boss and he's a believer or she's a believer doesn't mean that we take advantage of that relationship. We're simply to be obedient to the Lord. Y'all with me? All right. There's a second thing here in verse 5. Now, check this out in Ephesians 6. Bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh with fear and trembling in sincerity of heart as to Christ. We're to be a respectful worker. What does that mean? Does that mean that we're to be scared to death of our employers? Does that mean we're to walk around on eggshells? It means that we're simply to respect them and their position, their place of service. All of us should respect and honor the people we work for. Now you say, well, Pastor, you don't understand who I'm working for. Well, you can at least respect the position because you see, God has placed you under them under their authority. The Bible says if you'll be faithful in small things, guess what God will do? He'll make you responsible over greater things. That's a good work. Be a respectful worker. And then verses 6 and 7 talk about being an honest, hard worker. Say, oh me. All right, look at verse 6. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with goodwill doing service as to the Lord and not to men. What does not with eye service as men pleasers? Well, Paul's talking about those workers who only work while the boss is watching. You ever been at a job and while the boss is in the room, everybody's working feverishly, but as soon as the boss walks out of the room, everybody just takes a break. You understand what I'm talking about? I remember... Guys, y'all remember those two-a-day football practices in August? Remember those? Woo, mercy. I mean, in the hot August sun, growing up, we would normally had our second practice of the day at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And our coach somehow chose that wicked hour to do conditioning drills. And we were doing push-ups and burpees and conditioning exercises. And while the... the coach was watching us doing those drills, we're all doing the drills. I mean, we're up and down and doing everything we're supposed to do. But as soon as the coach would turn his back on us and go talk to an assistant coach while we're doing, some of my teammates weren't doing those drills. Why? Because the coach wasn't watching. I've come here today to tell you, your boss may not be watching, your coach may not be watching, but I'll tell you who is watching, and his name is Jesus. He's always watching how we work. This verse tells us, now look again at this, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. We're to work at our jobs with all of our heart. We're to be all in. Because you see, it's a testimony issue. Because your job is your mission field. It's where God has placed you. This verse 5 says this, work as unto the Lord. Verse 6 says, work as servants of Christ with all your heart. And verse 7 says, work as if you're working for the Lord and not men. You're working for Jesus. That elevates work. That lifts up labor, right? You're working for the Lord Jesus. We need to quit asking, what time do I get off work? When do I have to come in? What are my benefits? How many vacation days do I get? What am I getting out of all this? We ought to use our jobs as a place to witness for Christ. We need to be asking the question, how best can I treat my job as a place where I can lift up Jesus? That's the mindset when we go to work. It's our mission field. Listen to what Colossians chapter 3, it's stated a little bit differently. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17 says, and whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Colossians 3:23, and whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. Can I meddle just a minute? What kind of work ethic do you have? God expects us to work hard. What kind of work ethic do you have? Do you do just as little as you can to get by with what you're supposed to do? Or do you go overboard and show up not just on time or late? By the way, I was talking to a family member the other day, and she's just gotten a new job. And she gets this blew me away. She gets $100 a month extra if she shows up for work on time. And shows up for work. In other words, she doesn't miss work. She gets $100. I said, you've got to be kidding me. That's an expected thing, is it not? Folks ought to be calling Second Mile Church every day. Have you got any more of those workers down there at church? I need some more of them. Your work ethic says a lot about who you are in Christ Jesus. Mercy me. If we would pay, you know what? If we just paid more attention to the Bible and do what it says, our nation would be a lot better off. Hallelujah. We'd be better off. So, we're to be obedient workers, we're to be respectful workers, and we're to be honest, hardworking workers. There's one final thing here in verse 8. We're to be thankful workers. Look at verse 8. Knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. Pastor, you just don't know what kind of working conditions I have to put up with. No, I don't. I don't know what kind of boss you have. I don't know what kind of stuff that you've got to, you know, work through every day at work. But guess what? Jesus does. He knows all about it. And there's coming a day when you're going to be rewarded for your work. Really? Really? You're going to be rewarded for honest, hard, respectful, obedient, thankful work. if you've got a Bible, you might want to look at this verse. It's a good one, 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10. And you ought to circle this one in your Bible. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10. If you're there, say amen. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. There's going to be an accounting for the way we worked at our jobs. Can I just say this? Your boss may never praise you, but Jesus will. At the judgment seat of Christ. He's going to take a look at our work, at the way we worked and served others. And He knows whether we're doing it with all of our heart or whether we're doing it out of obligation. He will praise you. And by the way, y'all do know that the retirement benefits of the Lord are out of this world, right? Amen, over here, quiet section. Amen. And so, at the judgment seat of Christ, our Lord is going to look at all of those issues that we're talking about this morning as to whether or not we treated our employment as a mission field. And it is a mission field. I sit here and I look at Sam Young, the people who made the greatest impact in my life growing up were teachers, coaches, and pastors. I just want to tell you, Sam, you are in a great spot, brother, to impact and influence and be such a blessing to so many of our kids. Don't you appreciate our teachers and our coaches? Hallelujah. And it may not seem worth it, Sam, but one of these days, you're going to stand before the Lord and God's going to say, son, you might not have ever gone 29-0, but you did a good job where I placed you. So every one of us need to understand that truth. We are all going to be judged according to our work ethic. Whether we were obedient and we submitted to our authority figures, whether or not we were respectful, whether or not we were thankful, and whether or not we were honest and hard working. You will be rewarded for the way you treated your boss and the way you labored. Is that not a good word for us? All right, let's talk to the bosses for just a minute. Those are the Christian workers. We had some obligations there as Christian workers, but we've also got some obligations as Christian bosses or Christian supervisors. Look at verse 9. And you, masters, do the same things to them. What same things? The things we've been talking about with the workers. Giving up threatening, knowing that your own master also is in heaven and there's no partiality with him. Now, you may be a Christian owner of a business, a Christian manager, a business owner, something of that nature, supervisor, and there's some things that you're obligated for as well. You just simply need to, what he's talking about here in verse 9 is simply treating your employees fairly. Treating all of them fairly. If you're in a management position or you're in an owner type situation, just treat the employees. Do the folks who work for you and under you, do they know you're a believer? They should. Do they know you're a Christian? Do they know that He is the Lord of your life? May it never be said of us as Christian supervisors, well, if that's what being a Christian's all about, I don't want any part of it. May that never be said of our second milers here at this place. One of the ways people know that you're a Christian is by the way that you treat people. Can I get a witness? One of the ways people understand and know and sense that you're a believer is by the way that you treat others. You should treat people the way you want to be treated. Right? How do you want to be treated? Well, that's the way we treat others. If you want your employees to respect you, respect them. If you want them to praise you, then praise them. Verse 9 is basically just another way of restating the golden rule, which is do unto... Very good, very good. Be honest with them. Back when, I hate to keep going back to this, this is my experience, and when I was in hotel management, and I treated our, I look back at it now, and that really was my mission field. That was my ministry. We had about 50 workers there seasonally at the hotel at the Best Western. That was when it was just us and the Holiday Inn out at Exit 4. Some of y'all are, don't even have a clue what I'm talking about there, but that's what used to be out there. No mall, none of this, all this stuff. We had a great business, but in order for you to be a part of the franchise, a franchisee of Best Western, you had to live up to some ideals. And one of the things that they did was they would come by your property. Every Best Western property is independently owned and operated. But if you wanted to stay on the reservation system and be able to receive reservations from all over the country, they would come by your property and inspect the property every 6 months. And I want to tell you, every time they came to our place to inspect us, they would come to, back to my office after the inspection. You know, I wasn't allowed to go with them and show them everything, but they would come back to me and they'd say something like this. Your employees worship the ground you walk on. I said, I hope not, because there's only one worthy of worship. But they all made me look so good. Do you know why that is? It's because I treated them fairly. If they worked hard, I thanked them for working hard. And I would go to my boss from time to time and go to bat for them, try to get them a raise. Or try to get them some benefits. Twice a year we'd have a huge, I had a huge African-American chef who worked in the back, and he went out back and built a barbecue pit. And twice a year I'd have all the families in. Is this Satan's side of the altar over here? I don't know. Every time I come over here I get all this feedback. But twice a year we would have this big barbecue and all these folks would come. And we'd have such a good time. And so they all knew that I cared about them and I treated them all fairly. And they made me look like $1 million. That's just the way it works. If you want folks to praise you, praise them. If you want your workers and employees to be a blessing to you, be a blessing to them. Now, I know that doesn't happen all the time, but 99% of the time that works. Treat your workers fairly, treat them compassionately. Did you catch that? Giving up threatening, knowing that your own master is also in heaven, there's no partiality with him. Don't demean their character. Don't use harsh language with them. And for by all means, be decent and kind to them. You should never curse an employee. What kind of testimony is that? It's done got real quiet up in here. When they do a good job, reward them. Treat them kindly. Start the day with prayer. After they get up out of the floor and realize that you've prayed for them, they'll be better employees. Pray with them. Get involved in their lives. Get to know their families. Your job is your mission field. And before we get to thinking real high and mighty of ourselves, did you catch what verse 9 said? Knowing that your own master's also is in heaven and there's no partiality with him? According to this verse, the President of the United States has no more pull and influence with God than the man who cleans his toilet every day in the Oval Office. Have mercy. God doesn't play favorites. We're all on a level playing field with God. So, I've said all of that this morning to say this. What if everyone looked at their job and their employment as a mission field? I think if everybody in Montgomery County looked at their employment as a mission field, Montgomery County would be saved. If we all went to work with the mindset, this is my mission field. By the way, Jesus said, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Doesn't your boss need the Lord? Don't those folks you're working with, don't they need the Lord? Well, sure they do. Well, in large part, what we're talking about here is that their salvation depends on the way you're going about doing your job. Speaks volumes. Pray with me. Father, I don't know how to wind this sermon up, but I want to thank you for the work that Jesus did. He left heaven and came to work on this planet. And it is through the finished work of our Savior that we can be saved. And everyone that Jesus touched, everyone that He came in contact with, was His mission field. Would you give us that mindset, Lord? That we need to be the people of God Monday through Saturday, not just on Sunday. Oh God, forgive us for Monday morning Christianity. Help us to see others the way Jesus. He would have never left heaven if He didn't love us enough to die for us. So Lord, as we look at Him, at this situation of where we are, what we're doing, help us to understand, no matter whether we're in full-time employment, part-time, or we're retired, what we're doing for Jesus lasts for all of an eternity. And we'll be rewarded for the way we lived the life that You gave us. Touch my brothers and sisters with this message today. Because Montgomery County and the state of Tennessee and really the whole world is dependent on how we see our mission field. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.